Chapter 19, Chronist, Part 2. "He's pretty good."
"Yeah, we..."
Cal cut himself off when he realized it wasn't Paz that had spoken. He tore his gaze away from Bo-Katan's unsurprising surrender and Din's unwelcome victory. Paz Vizsla had been replaced by a young man in Jedi robes, with light brown skin and long blue-black hair tied away from his face. He had a pale scar on his cheek. Cal knew immediately that this was the person he'd sensed earlier. This was the unfamiliar Jedi. Cal had been so absorbed in the duel that he hadn't noticed his approach. Cal's eyes narrowed and his hand drifted automatically to his lightsaber.
"Who are you?" Cal asked. "You aren't with the Order. I would have met you."
"Jabba the Hutt," he replied with a roguish grin. Cal resisted the urge to roll his eyes. "You're a little short for a hut, and you can call me Poncho."
Jabba laughed brightly. He looked back at the frozen lake, where Bo-Katan was getting to her feet, her helmet hanging despondently from where her fingers hooked its brim.
Din was still, the darksaber held out slightly, as though he was hoping she might take it off his hands anyway.
Cal felt for him, he really did. But Bo-Katan hadn't been particularly kind to Din, or Cal for that matter. She'd shown none of the diplomacy that Cal would have expected from the future leader of a people recovering from genocide. Perhaps this was for the best.
"Your Mandalorian is pretty good, but I think mine can beat him," the Jedi said, still smiling.
"Is that so?" Cal asked. "And which one of them would that be?"
Din was just about to follow Bo-Katan off the ice, anxious to get out of the tractor beam of attention, when the crowd parted to reveal a new figure. A young, green-haired woman strode out onto the frozen lake, her shoulders back and her head held high. Her armor was a rainbow of colors, red, green, blue, orange, purple, bound together in detailed designs like graffiti, more intricate than any decorations on Beskar that Din had ever seen. A rebel starbird was placed prominently on her breastplate, and the telltale stylized eyes of Bo-Katan's night owls were stenciled onto her helmet. She stepped out in front of Din. Instead of raising one of the blasters on her hips, she leveled the green blade of a lightsaber at him.
"I, Sabine Wren of Clan Wren and House Vizsla, challenge you for possession of the darksaber."
"I accept,"
Din replied, careful to keep his voice neutral. If Bo-Katan hadn't beaten him, he doubted this much younger and smaller opponent could either, even with a lightsaber. Though not for lack of determination, he thought, as steeled brown eyes vanished behind their helmet. And far be it from him to turn down a chance to rid himself of this wretched weapon. The crowd got quiet again as they circled each other, even quieter, perhaps, than when he'd fought Bo-Katan. Wren struck out first, her blow accelerated by the jetpack strapped to her back. He sidestepped, but she'd anticipated his move, and the green lightsaber nicked his side, just under his armor and above his belt. He could feel the heat of the blade through his whole body, like he'd leaned against a ship's thruster at takeoff. He fought through the pain, more cautiously now that he knew he'd underestimated his opponent. Wren was fast. Faster than Bo-Katan, and clearly had experience with lightsaber combat. The duel stretched on, and while Ren's strikes lost no momentum, Din could feel himself slowing down. He parried the green blade, redirecting it into the ice, producing a hissing cloud of steam that collected on his visor. Ren landed a kick in his side right where the lightsaber had burned him, and it was then that she managed to disarm him. The moment he felt the hilt of the darksaber slip through his fingers, Din's heart leapt, although the feeling was immediately soured by the pain of his wrist bending the wrong way. Wren caught the darksaber in her lightsaber-free hand, and both blades were at his chest before he would have been able to draw his blaster, even if he'd wanted to.
"I yield,"
Din said, raising his hand slightly, his wrist stinging. He could feel blood sticking his flight suit to the immediately cauterized, then reopened wound on his side, the cold emphasizing the unpleasant wetness.
Dimly, he was aware of the noises of the crowd, shouting and hollering. To them or to each other, he had no idea.
You have your sword. Let me go in peace.
The colorful helmet cocked slightly to the side. I suppose Bo-Katan already asked if you wanted to help retake Mandalore?
She did.
Although Bo-Katan had actually demanded his support, there'd been no asking.
I'd rather not get involved, he admitted.
To his surprise, Ren simply nodded and lowered the two sabers. Then, well fought, she said. She stowed her weapons and they clasped arms briefly. I do hope you'll stay for the feast.
Ujjalai.
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 Din repeated more slowly. Ujjalai, Cal repeated, the word falling awkwardly off his tongue. Is that not what I said?
It's definitely not.
Cal wasn't surprised Din had elected to stay for the holiday feast, even though he could sense his friend's exhaustion rolling off him in waves. And he was glad for the rare opportunity to see Din among his people. He didn't see Bo-Katan again, though he did catch glimpses of the Mandalorian who'd won the darksaber from Din, always shadowed by the other Jedi, whose lightsaber she'd borrowed to fight with. It was strange, knowing that there were Jedi out there functioning outside the Order. Cal, having grown up in the rigid structure that had existed during the Clone Wars. But he supposed it made sense. No two Jedi had the same concept of what the Order had been, or could be, anymore. And the Mandalorians were no different, it would seem. The great hall of the Ren stronghold was encased in glistening transparasteel, looking out over the snowy valley, dyed purple in the sunset. Exquisite statues and displays of ancient armor lined the walls like sentries, watching over the feast. Long tables were placed around the room, piled high with a variety of foods and beverages Cal had never seen before. The Mandalorians who could remove them stood around with their helmets tucked under their arms, plates and cups in hand, conversing. Since neither Din nor Paz could eat in front of people, they alternated between catching up with each other and experimenting on Cal, with varying results. He enjoyed the fruit and nut-filled ujjalai, though not trying to pronounce the word ujjalai, and the spicy tingliar. But when Paz brought him a cup of mysterious dark ale, it was so strong and bitter that Cal was convinced he could feel his brain cells dying. Ack, what the hell is that?
Kriji, Paz said. It's not so bad. You could clean an engine with that.
Din took the offending cup away and replaced it with another, filled with an even darker, thicker liquid.
Here, try this.
Cal eyed the murky liquid, then tentatively raised the cup to his lips. The consistency was bizarre, but the flavor was deliciously sweet, smoky and warm, like drinking a sugar-filled campfire. He took a long sip, purging the bitter aftertaste of the other ale.
Careful, it's still alcoholic,
Din said, his voice slightly strained. Cal waved his hand dismissively, but he lowered the cup from his mouth anyway. Don't worry, Jedi don't get intoxicated.
How's that possible?
Well, technically we can, but we can also make ourselves sober at will. Cal stared off into space, trying to find the words to explain detoxification. The alcohol just kind of goes away, if you need it to. Works with poison, too.
Aw, that's no fun, Paz grumbled, and Din turned a stare at him. Were you trying to get him drunk? He asked, scandalized. You weren't?
No, Din snapped back indignantly, and Cal failed to suppress his rather undignified giggle. It was sweet seeing Din behave so familiarly with someone else, even if they were arguing. Cal often worried that, although Din seemed relatively at peace at the training temple, he was lonely without other Mandalorians around. The Jedi were welcoming, but Cal would be the first to admit they were an odd group. Paz said something in Mandoa, thumping Din on the shoulder, and Cal saw him stiffen. He looked his friend up and down for injuries again, and spotted a tear in his flight suit, partially concealed by the edge of his breastplate and the shadow of his cape, that he hadn't noticed before. "You're hurt."
"It's nothing," Din said soothingly. "Just a graze."
If it was enough of a graze to make Din wince, it was worth checking.
"You've got more Bacta in here than a medical frigate. How often do you think I get shot?"
"Too often," Cal said from the floor, as he pulled the medical supplies from a crate he'd stashed in the cockpit of Din's ship weeks ago. He couldn't convince the Mandalorian to carry bandages on him, but at least there'd be some in the ship when he'd inevitably need them. Like now. He turned to see Din standing behind him, watching him line up Bacta, bandages, and sutures. "Why are you still up there? Sit!" Din sat on another crate, leaning up against the durasteel wall of the ship, so his injury was about at Cal's eye level from where he knelt. Cal reached for the wound, but hesitated.
"It might be easier if you, oh, right, yeah."
Cal pretended to be very interested in the label on the jar of Bacta, as Din removed some of his layers. Cape, breastplate, left pauldron, left vambrace. By the time he was shrugging off his flight suit on his injured side to reveal a thin, short-sleeved undershirt, Cal's mouth was completely dry.
"Better?"
"Mm-hmm," Cal confirmed wordlessly. The last time he'd seen Din missing some piece of his armor, the Mandalorian had been on Death's Door, unconscious and covered in blood and shrapnel. Hardly the time or place to appreciate anyone's physical attributes. He also hadn't known Din as well back then. "Lift your arm?" Din complied, and Cal picked up a disinfecting cloth. With his other hand, he lifted up the soft fabric of Din's undershirt to expose the area around the wound, as well as an expanse of tan skin and powerful musculature. He bit his tongue and tried to distract himself with remembering Seer's first aid lessons, even though he could probably clean and dress a wound in his sleep at this point. The gash in Din's side was superficial, but Cal knew from experience that even small injuries from a lightsaber could be torturously painful, cutting and roasting flesh wherever the blade touched, rather than having the decency to just do one or the other. Cal finished cleaning the wound and started with the Bacta. Din twitched slightly when the gel touched his skin, and Cal winced sympathetically.
"Sorry, I know it's cold."
"It's fine. Thank you."
"Of course," Cal said. His eyes flickered up to the dark visor, still watching him.
Bo-Katan and Ren, I mean, both asked me to help them retake Mandalore,"
Din said after a long beat of silence. Cal thought about the statement, trying to discern how he was meant to respond to it.
"Is that what you want to do?"
Din sighed.
"Not really."
"What do you want to do? Now that you're free of the Darksaber and the Empire is no longer after you, you could do anything you want." Cal was almost done with the wound's dressing by the time Din spoke again.
"Be with you and Grogu,"
he said, softly but firmly. Cal's breath caught in his throat. Din's injury dealt with, he allowed his undershirt to fall back into place, but he didn't move away from him.
"If you'll have me."
Cal couldn't help the smile that tugged at the corners of his mouth, or the way his grip tightened on the hem of Din's shirt.
You know that I love you, right?"
"Ni Carteli Gardarasum."
"Does that mean..."
"Yes,"
Din interrupted with a little laugh. Cal pulled himself up onto the crate beside Din, the helmet shining in the dim interior lights of the ship, followed his movements intently. Cal leaned forward and pressed his forehead against Din's. It wasn't quite a kiss, but it got his point across. His hand wandered to Din's chest and the rapid beat of his heart.
"Should we go back to the feast, or..."
Cal cut himself off as Din's ungloved hand came up to rest on the side of Cal's face, fingers just barely in his hair. All his focus narrowed in on the warmth of his palm.
"Or we could stay here," Din said.
"Or we could stay here."